There you go.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Check, check.
Is everybody here? Oh, I can't hear you, man. It's like, you know, I come a long way, man, all the way from the West Coast, South Africa, to give you this session, and I'm just getting an after-lunch session. Ooh. If you don't care, wave your hands in the air. No? Man, I need to go back to the disco.
Okay. Someone's maybe closing.
Gonna close the door
for us. That's great. All right. Okay, let's go. Show me the reporting money with System Center. Short introduction, Sam.
Hi, my name's Sam Erskine. I officially go by Samuel Erskine on a blog, so you won't find Sam. My job title is the IT Driving Fellow. This whole week, you're going to bump into a lot of geeks. I call them the super engineers. My role is to go into an organization. They've bought System Center, and my goal is to help them to pass that test. I own my own company, so I made up the job title. It's not official anywhere. The second part is the highest title from Microsoft, Technical Fellow. The first part, I just drive IT. I've been doing it for the last 18 years. In my spare time, I do a little bit of authoring. I was lucky enough to work with Andreas, Dieter Gasser, and a couple of other guys on the Service Manager Cookbook. We also did the Orchestrator Cookbook, and I've just come out of nearly 18 months of hell writing 4 chapters in the Unleash Service Manager book. Today, we're going to be talking about something completely different from all of that. It's reporting, which is what I'm passionate about at the moment. Everybody else has got cloud, so I chose this one. Andreas?
Yeah. My name is Andreas Baumgarten, IT architect with H&D International Group. My luck is to know Sam, working with Sam since 5 years now, maybe a little more. Also an author on some books and working on my third one. So basically, let's go. So what are we talking about in this session? So the session goals we have so far is to give you a nice overview how to get things reported, because I think it's very important to show the manager who's owner of the budget where his budget is going. So in our session, we will cover a couple of different topics, like why should you care about reporting? So basically, maybe you can just have a short introduction on how do you know how good is your IT performing? Sam?
Sure. Can I have a go at this? Let's see. Why should you care about reporting? I mean, I've been doing System Center since SMS 2003. So my background before all of this was I was a field service engineer. And when we go into the System Center world, everybody said if you put it in, it will save you money. Challenge is nobody ever measures it, nobody ever tells you how they save you money. Sorry, I'm just still trying to work this bad boy out. Is this one new? Your clicker.
It's the same as usual, right? Go before. This is back. Just go.
Can I automate this with Orchestrator?
Sure.
Yeah?
Okay. It saves you money.
Cool. So most of the projects that I've been involved with, you get in there, you put the system in, and we always say we give you the standard reports. But most of the managers that I know out there would say, well, they want something flash, something that looks great. So typically, this is the kind of stuff they're looking for, some SLA reports, some traffic lights. And reason why you should care is, it's okay now, you got a budget, but what about in 2 years' time, when you go back and you say SP1 is out, or the new WAP system is out? They're going to say, well, you spent all this money on consultants, what did we get for it? So that's the goal of reason why you should care about it, because everybody wants to know what it's about. But to break it down a little bit further, we wanted to map it to System Center, and particularly automation. And I put this little circle up. I'm a little bit off base because I'm normally big on animation. These things build up like about 3 or 4 times in the Crunchy's lab. Unfortunately, I'm presenting with a German. I'm only saying that because they beat us in the World Cup, and this is my opportunity to drill them. Right.
So for that reason, he skipped my part of the presentation.
Absolutely.
At the moment. So.
Have I?
But go ahead.
I can't see the notes, so it's...
Yeah, then you should just stay there. The notes are here.
You know, at the end, it says you've got to give feedback, right? Marcel said, you know, half a Swiss franc and then 1 Swiss franc. If you give me a high rating, I'm going to donate 10 Swiss francs per session, right? So you can ignore all of this. But I'm going to park this here for a second because Andreas is going to build into what this circle means, and then I'm going to move on from there. So just to give him an intro, we're typically looking at the different stages of the data that you've got before you report it to the organization. So it's when you go into System Center, let me use an example. You're replacing the operating system from people walking around with a DVD or accessing it from different shares. And then we come in with Config Manager, and we say that normally it takes about 2 hours for somebody to do this work. But once we've created a task sequence, it will take 30 minutes to do it. So you have a net saving of 1.5 hours. But how do you ever prove that? Exactly. But I'm going to park it with that and let Andres dive into something else before I come back to this.
Okay.
Cool.
So basically the idea was to talk about how do you know? How do you know? The only option you have is use reporting. Reporting means to get the solid numbers out of the environment. And there are a couple of opportunities, different kind of systems, where you can get this data from. Also, you have with SQL Server reporting services and out-of-the-box solution from Microsoft to present the information as needed. So the idea is not every kind of displaying data in the report fits every need. So basically, you have a couple of choices to present this data to the management, for instance. So my experience with managers, and managers always have the money in the budget, is they just are not interested in any detail. So they want to see how good is your automation working, how much money I can save. So maybe bringing in a report, let's say 20 to 40 pages with all the different really deep inside data are not required for a report to the manager. On the other hand, you can just aggregate a lot of data. We will show you in some examples later on to just compromise or compress information for management like a chart. Also, maybe just with some indicators, red, green, and yellow, to point to the really important things for management reporting. So basically, to start with reporting and how to show the manager that automation is really saving money, because I'm working as a consultant. If I go for a customer in a meeting, doing a proof of concept, whatever. We are talking about automation, and yeah, the result should always be saving money, because that's the only, I think, aspect the business is interested in. So even time is money, so saving time is also a factor of money. They are interested in saving money. I'm promising, hey, go for automation. We will save you money, but how to prove? And that's the whole idea of our session, and we will go further now with the automation part.
Cool. So just to make sure we're all here, how many of you are using Service Manager today? Okay, cool. It's all right, baseline. Config Manager? Yeah.
Whoa.
Cool.
That's Ops solid, Manager? Man. Orchestrator?
Nice, nice, nice. Great. Orchestrator combined with Service Manager. Cool. Ah, this is easy.
So we can go.
Yeah.
We can just leave stage.
Yeah.
Everyone is pro now. Okay, great.
This is nice. I thought I was going to be creamed over here.
Okay.
So If you're using that combination, if I take something like user request, typically that was one of the toughest places of implementing in Service Manager, because people are used to sending a request to the IT service desk. Next thing, it goes to the AD guys, they provision the account. It would then get passed on to another team, say SAP or whatever systems you're using. They do their part. So all of these activities, even though if you had one person doing it, one system, it would take a very short time. In some cases, I've had customers where it's taken 2 weeks to provision a user. So that's one area where we say we use System Center to automate it. So you have an orchestrated runbook, there'll be a form, all of the different parts get together. The other part is, say, Config Manager self-service for software provisioning. Similar thing, if I take Visio or Project, if they request it, maybe a manager needs to approve it. So we automate those things. The challenge with that is normally the manual process to automated process isn't a straightforward translation. A personal story I had was somebody called me and said, look, I'm trying to create a runbook. It will take its inputs as an email to request a user to be created. We want that runbook to copy another user so they get their groups. Do you have a runbook that can do that? I'm like, you're kidding me? What kind of planet are you from? Why would I read an email? One, it's a lot of hard work. So I said, you know, you could just start with a form. So they're looking at it from the way the manual person does it. The second part is copying a group. It's one of the deadliest things that you could ever do. How many of you here are domain admins? Right. And how many of you have changed jobs as domain admin, so worked in another department whilst you are still a domain admin? Yeah? Go ahead, gentlemen at the front. So I start the organization and say you're in the marketing department. But every now and then you moonlight for the AD guys, because when they show up, you do it. You copy my account with a runbook, and I'm a new IT guy. I'm like about 18, 19. I find out I'm a domain admin. What do you think I'm going to do? So how bad is that runbook? So it's one of the reasons why I've covered understand, optimize, and document. Now I'm going to hand over to Andreas to sort of like give an example of the other areas as well.
Yeah. So basically, the user management is really a great task to automate. And as Sam already stated, like you have to understand, and based on the process, not only on the technique, like copying a user and put this user in a group like this. Optimized document, really, really important. And for me, it turns out that if we are talking about manual processes, it's kind of funny. So it was also a project regarding user management. And there were about six, maybe seven administrators. They are doing all the same job, normally, I thought. And I asked about the process. What's the process? How is the process working to add a user? A new employee is entering the enterprise or the organization. You need a new user. So let's say six administrators, and I got eight different ways. So during the conversation, it was like, oh, you are adding the telephone number in this system as well. No, I'm not doing this. So, but the street and the city, I will add. Oh, the next one, oh, don't add anything because I'm lazy. So basically, if you get a kind of process for automation, it really makes sense to go further before you start with the runbook design and orchestrator to simplify this. Means, if you got the process, you understand the target, you optimize this, but still, there's a really high option or opportunity to simplify the process. If you really dig down to the really important things, so what's the input, what should be the output, you can simplify most of the processes on the way from transport or transferring from manually to automation. Because after that simplifying, I will go for the automation. That's the first point. after maybe the pre-sales meeting, I opened the runbook designer and start adding activities in this. This, before, it's done by flipchart, by whiteboards, or OneNote, or whatever. And here, here we go for runbook designer, adding the activities, bring it in the right order, do some error handling, or things like this.
So, Andres, I'm just going to inject here. We normally use normal IT data. The best example I've got is getting authority to get a company credit card. Do any of you guys here have a company credit card? Okay. What would normally happen? Sorry, I'm going to pick on somebody out here because I'm a football coach, and if I'm the only one kicking the ball, there are 11 players not working. What does the process look like in your organization for a new credit card? Yeah, and it just goes into a black hole. That's all right. What's your credit limit, by the way? You don't. See me later. We have a runbook that can also. But the thing is, normally it's requested by the secretary, right? It will go to a manager. So if you gave the manager a portal, he's authorized to let you have that credit card. You cut out the secretary, you cut out the email, you cut out the chasing to say, hey, look, man, I'm in media mart, I've seen this cool thing. I just don't have enough money on me. Where's my credit card? So that's what we mean by simplify, and it's one of the examples I like to give just to make it real. Okay.
Yeah, after automation, I think using the runbook, using the automated process for a while is a good idea, but after that, you for sure should do a measurement, like, because if we start with automation, there's a target in your mind, like, I want to save some money, I want to save some time, I want to make my users happy because I can deploy a new user account or group membership within 5 to 10 minutes after approval. You should do a measure, like, I hit the target, I shot the goal, yeah, I got the ball in or out, like in the World Cup. So measure and reporting is really an important part after all the automation, I think.
Yeah, and you know, the short form of that is a lot of you guys are heroes in your organization, but nobody knows, right? If you walk into a room and it's burning, and before anybody notices, you put the fire out, you paint the room, and you go back to everybody and go, you know what? I just saved all of you. What do you think they'll say? Nothing, right? They're like, no, are you kidding me? No. What if the house was on fire and you jumped in there with a blanket, you know, your superhero stuff, you're carrying two or three bodies out, you step out, right? You're the hero. Now, measurement is what's going to allow you to be a hero in the first situation, because you can actually prove it, right? That's the conclusion of that little part. Exactly. And we must let you know that we have very, very limited slides. After that, I'm going to go freestyling into some consoles, and we'll do some demos. So
I think we still have two.
Do we?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought you took them out.
I don't delete. Because, yeah, I took one out, and you added two.
All right.
So let's go further then.
Cool.
So basically, manual to auto. There's one maybe challenge you have if you go for reporting and comparing, because if you have an automated process, we will show you a different options you have to get the data out of the system for reports. Doing or measuring a manual process, yeah, you have to be fair. You need a clock. And you need to make a note how long does it takes. So otherwise, you can't compare it. So in Service Manager, if you go for service request fulfillment, which is, I think, the right process for kind of like of automation. By the way, who's using service catalog, service request fulfillment? It's really hard to see with this. Oh. No, not that much. But anyway, so you have different kind of measurements or options to measure. So for instance, you can just get the date of a service request when it's created until it's completed. It's a raw data. It's covering the whole process. And but it still shows, OK, I got a request. I need a new user. I need a new software. I need a new computer when it's created and when it's completed. So this time is also it's the first step to hit in measure how the process is working. So the next is the review activity. In my opinion, it is hard to force an approver to say, hey, if you want to be good, then approve fast. So maybe that's a weak point, because doing pressure on the guy who's approving or even rejecting a thing might be a little bit harder, and it's still manually. But maybe you can something add to the manual activities or?
Absolutely, yeah. So how many of you have SLAs that you have to meet for your business?
Only one. Oh, not that much. You're rising twice, so it's no.
No. It's okay. I was asking the official version of it. How many of you have users that will come and stand by the IT desk and expect things to happen immediately? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have SLAs. They're just unrealistic. Right. Yeah. So as you transform and you start going through giving people things really quickly. He's going to be 16. I have a 16-year-old boy. I have to build delays into when I give him stuff, otherwise I go broke. Right? Every time he asks me for something, I build in a delay based on when I'm going to get paid next. So that's the way I look at SLAs. So all of these activities, the part that Andres mentioned is, if you're depending on one or two managers to approve a request, sometimes it can take a long time. When you automate it, that can become instant if you've optimized your process. So that's what we mean about measuring. So you could go from something that takes 3 weeks to deliver the service to doing it in seconds. Yep. But when you go back and ask for the budget next year, they're going to go, well, don't know, you've been doing like about 2,000 of these things a month. Why do you need more money to buy additional disks? Go for the Windows Azure pack. You know, we're doing fine. But you need to take them back to that comparison so you can tell them, yep, you know, we've actually moved a great deal from that. But the systems that are doing this, we need to maintain them. Otherwise, we go back to 3 weeks.
Exactly. Okay. So picking up the manual activity, this part is also a good point for automation at all. So here, in this service request, we are still not talking about automation. We are just talking here about the option to lock the data in a database to do a measurement. So this will be the manual activity, like we will assign an Active Directory administrator. He will just do this manually. So now, in the next, it will be the funny part to get things automated. And this is the option we have to get really the benefit out of System Center and Orchestrator and also the reporting.
Absolutely. So how many of you have the Service Manager cookbook? Cool. What's your favorite chapter? This is an ego thing. There were five of us that wrote it. I know which one I wrote. Just call our number.
You're interested in, yeah.
Yeah, just call our number. So long as it's between 1 and 3, we're good.
Yeah.
Right.
But also, just to make another joke, writing this book was really great fun. Afterwards, the royalty statements, completely cool. For that reason, he was asking which chapters you like most. Is not because he's eager. It's more like we have 5 authors and we get 5 different royalty statements, but we are still talking about the same book. So maybe that was a measurement for payment for us. But anyway, so yeah. Go ahead.
They should have come to this one. So when I wrote those chapters, I put a lot of flow charts in there because I'm IT trained. But most organizations I go to, they have all of these crazy diagrams. And I wanted to simplify it. So that was the goal of those initial chapters. So the geeks, like, where's it? Didi is hiding over there. He was the monster in that book. I learned a whole lot more about it. But what we did was this. So we took the input, we planned and transformed it and thought, nah, that just won't do. It looks cool, but that middle one won't do. So when we talk about transformation, first of all, you may need to break it down into the manual steps. Like in football, we used to walk the play. You do it slowly, and then you speed it up on the pitch. And then we hop into automation. So the role of the system center components, we've always heard about the better together story. So you guys are using service manager, you're using orchestrator. So what we wanted to do was, for instance, orchestrator, how many of you run reports based on the orchestrator database today?
That much.
Okay, oh, great. This is, what's it? I can't use big words, but it's something awesome. Just gave me a very, very good demo. So on that note, I'm just going to let Andreas set the scene for the scenario that we're going to be talking about to bring all of this together.
Okay. Yeah, so basically we did just a kind of scenario, or better, because we are sneaky, we did two scenarios. So basically we created already two service requests. So one service request will be just request a new user, as an example, but could user management at all, like onboarding a new employee, or even deboarding, kicking out a user. And the second one is I need additional software on my laptop. So basically we created this service request. We are offering this by the service system, no, the service manager self-service portal. 3S in it. So, and then we automated this to get some valid data for the measurement and reporting part. So the orchestrator will use, or we'll have two runbooks in orchestrator, one for user management and one for the software deployment scenario. And next will be how to get this in a report. Maybe something else. So after, every time we are talking about reporting and getting some measures, people start, I'm very interested in getting the data out. I'm really interested in getting the numbers. If you say, okay, with the out-of-the-box reports, maybe you don't get the whole story. They start, okay, then I will maybe try something like guessing or assuming. So I don't invest in any reports, in additional reports, but on the other hand, only reports show you with the real numbers how good you are. And I think there's no a little bit or something, do or do not. There's no try. So
there you go, the best part.
There you go with your show.
Can you switch me?
I will switch you. Please. Switch.
Do you mind if I sit down? Because I'm kind of like not very good at standing up, turning around, and doing this.
Maybe your computer is in sleeping mode.
Possibly. Is it gone?
Ah! Oh! I thought this.
Let's go.
Okay.
So Andreas will fill in any dead air we have. Can you all see the screen okay? Because I'm not sure what the resolution is like from back there. It's good? Cool. Any SQL people in the room? Diddy, you're not allowed to raise your hand. Right. Do any of you people write queries at all? Okay, so you're like me when I started. Excellent. This is much better.
Yeah, because now he's doing like he's able to write his own SQL statements. Yeah. But to be honest, Sam is a CPM developer. Yeah. Who knows CPM? It's copy paste and modify. So
and I'm very, very good at it. Thank you, Andreas.
That's it. Welcome.
It's not gonna happen again now. Just loves this. So I thought we'll start at the end of the movie and come back to how it all happened. Now, before I start all of this, credit goes to Mr. Gasser over there, because we're actually writing a reporting cookbook. Yeah, he's over there. Please give him a hand. Without him, I lose my mojo. Guys, still see this? Yeah? Okay. It's a little bit small. My resolution. Is it gone? Cool. Let's do this. It's all right, there's the zoom button here somewhere. All right. You see that? Is it clear? Do you guys like it? Is this sort of report useful for your organizations? Yeah? Okay. So what this report does is that you pass it, it connects to the orchestrator database, and then it gives you the information on the run book name, the path, if you've organized it. We also pull the diagram of your run book from the database. So this isn't one I drew. And the other part is, the renaming of the activities. So as you start building your activities, they take on different names. So even though you document it, it's not always what you see. So this one example of it. The second report, let me see here. May have to hit a refresh because I actually went and borrowed Kurt's session. Are you guys going to the software deployment? It's my Jenna Jackson going wrong. Yeah. Am I still not in control? Hello, hello. Cool. This one with details. There you go. You guys still see this from the back? Yeah, okay. So the connection is this part, the duration. So this is a run book that we've looked at, and then we're measuring how long it takes to run. So based on these figures, you can then go back and do a calculation on if it took somebody 2 hours or 2 days to do the work, we're doing it in 42 minutes. And over 2 years, you would then be able to map it back to exactly how much they get paid. That's my part. Have any of you used Report Builder at all? Yeah?
A couple, cool. Yeah. That's nice.
That's nice. Are you experts? So I want to know who's going to kick my bum. All right, cool. It works. By the way, I'm running this off my little cloud in front of here. It's only a little box. I'm a gadget boy. So to work it backwards, before you build the report, you have to define the database that you're going to connect to with its connection strings. That is literally saying, where is the data and how do I get inside? If you used to go into the nightclub, it's like asking your friends, well, where's the club? And then the second part for the data source is, am I old enough to get in? Cool. Yeah. We're good with that so far? The second part is the best part that you need Diddy for. So without the data sets, which is which part of the nightclub am I going to go into? Actually, let me be respectful. Restaurant, right? So it depends on whether I'm having a vegetarian meal or if you're Alex, you're having a T-bone steak and applying some very serious surgery to it. So this data set connects to the orchestrator database, and we have all kinds of views that we've queried. Now, the interesting part is the report title everybody knows. It's almost like free text. So every part of this, it's like using words. So I can come in here And ooh, which keyboard am I on? Sorry, much too many keyboards here. If you hit the escape key, it will normally select the whole block. Yeah, move your laptop. And let me see. Diddy, you have this version of the keyboard, don't you? Right, is that your Surface? Yeah. Is that the color of your Surface? That's the one I got for you, right? Cool.
What?
Okay. The second part is putting the tables in here. So all I did was go into the insert. Where's my... Oop. When you go for the table wizard, I can select any of these data sets. And if I were to select, say, where's my runbook instance? Yep. I had to pick the diagram one, didn't I? Wrong one. Andreas, please say something. Dead air kills me.
Sorry?
Say something, anything, distract them. Cool.
Okay.
All right, so I'm back. One of the first things I learned, and I called Diddy, it's a very, very embarrassing story. You know, when you create a report and everything is just flat, I opened up the screen. I'm like, well, how the hell do you do that? Right. You don't use any of the top two. So if you just want a linear table, all you would do is drag everything into the values area. And that would just give you all your columns. So that's how the first part was created. The other part is you can create just a standard text box. So that's where this comes from. I can draw a box here. And let's call this demo, right? So it's just my label. And if what I want is the path, I'll just drag that next to it. I'm really going to mess the reports up that I created, but it's all in the name of progress. So whilst you're here, you can just hit that. I've got what's known as a parameter. So if I use the parameter in a report, report builder would automatically put the value up here for me to select. So when I do that, you see it's all messed up. That's how this begins, and you go back into the designer, and you'll stretch it out in whatever way you want. And you can format that cell as well. Do any of you guys know how to do the traffic light part? You know, how many of you have seen those reports that always have a nice traffic light sequence? Yeah. How many of you know how to do it? Oh, good. Okay. So I'm writing a reporting book with Diddy at the moment. He sends me a chapter, and he shows me the data set. And then he shows me a picture of the report with a traffic light. And I'm like, come on, man. That's just not fair. So I had to go native. I had to go deep down and go and investigate it. Right? And it's actually much easier than it seems. It's just not very well documented. So I can put another one here. So you can just say insert a column to the right. And these things are called, where is it? The indicator. Yeah, so when you click on it, you get to draw it. See. And this first part brings up the wizard. So what do you guys want to have? Do you want those ones or, sorry, you know I'm not cheating. Which ones do you want? Please. Can I have a suggestion, please? Anybody? Traffic light? Yeah? Good. I like them over there. Round ones or square ones? You want stars? Cool. Which stars? These ones here?
Yeah, looks good.
Cool. So I'll have that. So when you add the star, at the moment it's absolutely useless. Okay? There's two parts to it. One of it is, what do the stars mean? So you notice that when I click in there, I'll get indicator properties. Where is he gone? Boom. This is your friend, right? This is the most important part about this. Report Builder will automatically do a calculation for you, and you normally have two values. You can either do it on percent or you can do it by a number. If I don't want all of these stars, I can choose to remove the ones I don't need, right? So in this case, I'm going to map it to the values field, right? Then going to change this to a number and say that if it's between 0 and, see, if I massage the figures, 40 is that star. And anything above 40, I think I have one of the RAM books that's much higher. So all you do, so let's test it out and see. Checking to see if Diddy's paying attention. If he was, I wouldn't be able to get this right. You would know that I've got it wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You will notice that there's absolutely nothing in there because I didn't tell it what to bind it to, right? Yeah, that took me 3 days to figure it out. It wasn't nice, right? And you're getting it in like about an hour or less, right? So this is the trick. All I need to do is go and say, well, which value do I want to use? Then I'm done. He says, come on, better work. Somebody's going to die.
It's the, there you go.
Boom. Right. So that's all you need to do. So imagine that if you've got, like, say, a patch management report and you've got percentage compliance, if you've got those figures in your data set, you can then say from this percentage to that percentage. So that's one of the areas in Report Builder. It's quite powerful, but it's not always obvious, right? The other part is, say, making characters bold. I can select that whole lot and go for my formatting options on the Home tab. Let's do a escape here. That bit and say that in that field I want it to be bold. So if you run it again, you'll get the same thing. So that's how this report came about. Yeah. The best part of this report for me is the run book diagram itself. Is this stuff useful for you guys at all? Yeah? Okay. So you have Diddy to thank for this. And I was speaking to Travis Wright. How many of you know Travis Wright here? Okay.
A couple, yeah.
All right. So in the UK, we'll call him a propeller head. Right. You know, those guys that are so smart, you're afraid to ask them a question. So today I showed him my report and he goes, how did you do that? Yes, at last I've won one, right?
Just remember CPM, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, look, this was some hardcore copying, man. I had to use Bing as well as Google, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I haven't installed the Chrome browser. Okay. So my objective of this whole reporting demonstration was just to give you a quick look at this, right, to show you all the things that you can do. Once you've completed all of these actions, to save my other report, I can just do a save as. So this is where the copy paste modify comes in, right? This is all a report definition file. So you can pick one of these, if you find one on the web, and modify to suit yourself. But please understand the database queries. So to give you an example, I'll give it to Marcel once we finish the session as well. If I've got it on here, which server is this on? All the queries that I create, I save them automatically, and I test them out. So you remember I talked about simplifying and comparing? So Diddy had given me all of these queries, but I had to go through and find out how to calculate the date, right? Because the duration part, he didn't tell me. That was another Easter egg I had to find myself. So there's a great website called W3 Schools, and they give you some very simple SQL statements. So I did a date difference. If I can see where it is, create a date. So there. And I'm cheating because the run books actually finish in seconds. So I can put second, hour, whatever it is in here. But this is how I build the queries in the background. Or how did he build them? I copied it, pasted, modified, and then executed. And you get to benefit from it. And Marcel will make it available on his blog. Yeah. Now, you have a question?
No.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I just want to maybe shortly. You're able to show a runbook where we lock the data?
Oh, yeah.
So basically, Sam showed us the things that are available in System Center by default, like connecting to the service manager data warehouse, or maybe to the config manager, or even to the orchestrator. But you have another option. I hope you have prepared this, because we talked about this.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right.
So if you need some more information during, oops.
No, this is fine. That's because it's.
The shutdown tracker is fine.
Yes.
Okay.
It's my walk-in lab. It's over here.
Yeah.
It's really
just
cool.
Go ahead, open the runbook designer, and then we will show people how it goes.
You are such a tough master, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I need to smoke. Right. Nah,
all
just
right.
Kidding.
I'll stay out of your way. So let me see. Here's one I prepared earlier.
Yeah. So basically, you always have the option at each activity, really at each activity, to add a thing like this, writing in a database and information. And if you don't want to modify the existing orchestrator database, because maybe Microsoft will come up with an update or whatever, a revamp of the schema, just create your own database, define a table, you're able to add maybe, let's say, the runbook ID, start time, end time, whatever, error text,
yep.
Or another column, as you want, and as Sam did, like here, he's just putting in a connection to this, and he will write in the database. He can specify, and you can use native SQL code or SQL queries, so it's not like you have to have some special C# or whatever code.
Yeah.
And this is the option to get another additional data based on your activities or your different activities, maybe based on SCCM and collection specific information, or if we are talking about the user management. Is like we get some more information from different kind of systems or different kind of directory services. You can just log in a database and use the great opportunity to get this out of the database again by the report builder, creating your own report.
Yeah, so the part that I wanted to do as an advanced version of this was, you notice all the data we reported, like duration. So what I was going to do was write into this log the value mapped to time. Then what would I've had is Swiss francs, right? So say 100 Swiss francs per 30 minutes or whatever it is. Then we would have combined the databases to say that this run book has been run 200 times, and every time it runs, we log 100 Swiss francs to the little database. So we can merge those two. And when you run the report and you give it to the manager, they see the money instead of like the traffic lights. And how many managers will like to see how much money they're saving? Are there any managers in the room? Anyway, before I started picking on them. Dirk, are you in here? I can see you hiding. Okay, so he's a manager, so I'm targeting him. He was one of my favorite customers because he beat me up until I gave him something he wanted. Guys, I'm here till Friday. All of these demos are over here, so if you need to see it, you can come and see it. But unless you want me to show you something else within it, what I wanted to do was just give you a quick step through, which we've done. It wasn't meant to be a cookery show to say, here's one we made earlier. I wanted to show you some of the little steps in there. But I'll hand over to Andreas to wrap it up. I think we got in a little bit later than we'd planned.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no, we're not late. I'm trying to get us back on time so that Marcel gives us good feedback.
Okay. So, come up.
Do you want me to use the space bar for you?
Yeah, that's great. So what was the session about? We hope we got some information transported to you, like making decisions is based on facts only. That's the only option you have to do a proper decision where to go, and also how the investment in automation works and if it works. Another thing that is very valuable for getting these numbers for us, identify processes worth to automating. Because if you go the whole story with the service request fulfillment and you offer maybe another process created in the service manager as a service request, even if you don't go for the whole automation stack, you can just monitor how often this kind of service request or request offering is triggered to get an idea how often someone is requesting this tiny thing, like a hardware request or whatever. And also you get a rough idea between creating date and closing date or resolving date, how long does it take? Yeah? And based on this fact, you get an idea about, okay, does this process make sense for automating? Because you have just do a simple math. I'm spending a lot of time for something, but I'm only doing this maybe once a year. On the other hand, to automate this, I need, let's say, 80 days. It doesn't make sense to go for it. The ROI, the return of investment, will be not working. On the other hand, if I'm able to detect things like service requests really triggered a lot of times, 10 to 20 times, let's say a month, and I only need 5 days to automate this, it makes sense. So basically, that's also the verify the return of investment or success of runbook automation. That's also a good point. And I think...
You're working?
Still there? Okay. So another good reference is coming soon, the System Center Reporting Cookbook. So I know already the content because I'm one of the technical reviewers of this. But I had a good talk with Sam and also Didi for this book. It's really great. I'm looking forward to it, to see it on the market. So this is just a short mock-up we did on the weekend.
That would really be the cover. And reason why I didn't do a really deep demo is the stuff that you saw there and a whole lot more has already been documented. And you guys are going to be able to pick it up for, about 30 Swiss francs or something. But all the reports from planning it, we do SCCM, we do VMM, we do Ops Manager, and the one you just saw, we do in there as well. So that's all written, it's all live. And if I continue demonstrating, you wouldn't have a reason to buy the book. So that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it, right? But I'd like to hit the switch and say thank you very much. It's been emotional. And at this stage, you can ask as many questions as you have. And Didi over there in the corner will be taking all of them while I chill out here.
Now, I think we will just clean up the table here for the next session. Maybe we can go just downstairs to the Ask the Expert table. If there are some additional questions you have, please get in contact with us. We are looking forward to it. Otherwise, it's thank you for attending our session. I hope it is some helpful. We got maybe some good ideas transported, I hope at least. So it would be great to get a session feedback to see how it works, and also because there was still the donation thing. I really like this idea, so it would be great to get a feedback on our session. So, but at the end, I wish you a nice additional 2 days. No, one session is still coming, I think.
So the automation piece, I'm actually presenting on Friday with Kurt Van Hock. He's doing a full integration with Service Manager with new forms and stuff. Some really cool stuff. I actually stole his database to do part of the report piece in there, so I can show you more. But I'd like to thank you very much for attending, especially Marcel, for being brave enough to put me on stage.
Okay, thank you. Okay.